Remember at the very beginning of the Nesugya, the Gemara tells us there's a principle of a hefset between a bracha and the beginning of one's eating. The only thing is that not everything constitutes a hefset, depending on whether it's the tzorech or not. So if a person recites habotzi and then starts to schmooze about the bowl game before he takes a bite of the bread, that's going to be a problem, and that is going to necessitate a new bracha. But if the person recites habotzi and then is scrounging around looking for the salt, can't find a knife to cut the bread, so he starts to talk about those kinds of things, so that is not considered to be hefset, and he would not have to require a new bracha. So the entire discussion in Hagemar about hefsek is about in between, in that small window between the bracha and when the food is about to be consumed. What would it then be if a person recited a bracha, starts to eat, and then talks? We don't talk, but that's called the meal. So there is no halacha that you're required to, maybe it would be better that way, but there's no halacha that requires you to sit quiet for the entire meal. So obviously, once the bracha was toefes, once the bracha took hold, once the bracha took effect, then there's nothing wrong with being mafsik in terms of talking throughout the duration of the meal. That seems pretty obvious. Now let's carry over that model to Birchas HaMitzvahs. So Rishonim saying that the same would be true in terms of a hefsek between the bracha and a mitzvah. First, it recites a bracha, l'shmo kol shofar, then starts to shmooze. First recites Alchaz Matzah, then starts to talk. So it depends. So if it's something that's relevant for the performance of the mitzvah, say again, the shofar's not working, he needs someone to bring him another shofar, or he has the wrong matzah, he needs someone to bring. Okay, that's the Torah. So that wouldn't constitute a hefsek. Whether he should be doing that, like a chil, that's another story, but that wouldn't invalidate the bracha. But what if he made a bracha, starts blowing the shofar, made a bracha, starts eating the matzah, and then in the middle of doing the mitzvah, he begins to talk? So what should the din be? So l'chora, it should be the same as the suda, same way that in the middle of a meal, you're allowed to talk. Hefsek only applies between the bracha and the beginning of the eating. So presumably that should all spill over to the sugya in terms of birchas hamitzvos as well. That's what we would have thought the din should be. And that's really where our sugya starts. That's the tosis, both the brachas, tosis included, takes up the issue. But the sugya really starts not so much in brachas, a little bit more maseches benachos, because the Gemara does have a concept of a hefsek in the middle of a mitzvah, and depending on what the Gemara does or doesn't say there, is going to greatly impact upon our sugya. So let's take a look at the third of the Rambam Kavos. So Amar Chista, the Gemara Menachos Daf Lamed Vav, Amar Chista, Sach ben Tefila Tefila Choze Umevarech. If a person speaks between Tefillah, yeah, tefillah doesn't mean davening. It means it's the Lashon Yachid for tefillin. Tefillin is actually a Lashon Rabbim. You know, the more correct way is to say tefillah shel yad, tefillah shel rosh. We just say tefillin shel yad, tefillin shel rosh, colloquially, but really tefillin is a plural. Tefillah is a Lashon Yachid. So sach ben tefillah tefillah, if a person speaks between the putting on the shel yad and the putting on the shel rosh, chozu mevarech, then they repeat the bracha. We're not quite sure which bracha we're talking about. The Gemara's Bedayek Sach in Lo Sach Lo. It would appear that the only time that you make a bracha, an additional bracha on the Tulin Shel Rosh, is only if you spoke. I really, by Shalach of Chiyah Breid of Huda Bishreid of Yochanan, Al Tulin Shel Yad Oma Bracha Shech Nishar Mitzvah Tzvah Al Niyach Tulin, Al Tulin Shel Rosh Oma Bracha Shech Nishar Mitzvah Tzvah Al Mitzvah Tulin. It's not true that one recites a bracha of Lahaniach on the Shel Yad and Al Mitzvah Tzvah on the Shel Rosh. Sounds like even if you didn't speak. So comes the Gemara and says, no, the answer is as follows, a little bit of a discrepancy. That if he didn't speak in between the two of them, then he recites one bracha. If he spoke, then and only then does he recite two brachas. So if you've ever been at a bar mitzvah boy's pshetel, the odds are you probably heard this once. That this is a major machlokes that we showed him. What do these words mean? What is the difference between lo sach versus sach? So we have to start to understand the sugya in of itself, and then begin to see how the sugya is going to be extrapolated, how it's going to extend over back to our sugya. So literally, what do the words mean? Lo sach mevarach achas, sach mevarach shtayim. So there's a major machlekes Rashi and Tosfos on the spot, just how to translate pshat in the Gemara. So Rashi understood when the Gemara says lo sach mevarach achas, that means the standard protocol for putting on tefillin every single morning is one bracha. You take your tefillin shel yad out of your bag, you make a bracha lahaniach tefillin, that bracha goes on the shel yad, that bracha continues on the shel rosh. Why shouldn't it? Tefillin shel rosh is also lahaniach tefillin, So you have one bracha, one size fits all. One bracha knocks off both the tefillin she yad and the tefillin she rosh. When and only when do you make a new bracha on the tefillin she rosh? That is only if you spoke. If you were mafsik between the shel yad and the shel rosh, now we didn't say whether you should or shouldn't be doing that right now, but you were mafsik between the shel yad and shel rosh, you spoke in between, then the original bracha of the haniach is not valid anymore, and you have to make a new bracha. Now, if I was thinking, what new bracha should you make? I would say, we'll just make the haniach over again. So here the Gemara says something a little bit strange. The Gemara says that, well, you just said the haniach like 30 seconds ago. So now I'm a little bit in a quandary. On the one hand, I have to make a new bracha because my first bracha got lost in the shuffle because I was mafsik. On the other hand, it's a little bit strange to just repeat the same bracha. So when it comes to tefillin, I have an interesting option. I can make another bracha. And the other bracha would also be a valid bracha. The other bracha would be al mitzvahs tefillin. So great. So it's also true, al mitzvahs tefillin. So I'll recite the bracha of Amitz was tefillin rather than the bracha of Laniach tefillin. Now, why exactly the Chazal shift the nusach? So that's a little bit of a fine-tuned question of tefillin. But Lamaisa, that's what the Gemara says. That the bottom line is that I made Laniach. The Laniach got lost in the shuffle because I was mafsik. So that necessitates reciting a new bracha. And for whatever reason, Chazal decided that new bracha is going to be a bracha of Amitz was tefillin. Rabbeinu Tam says that's not at all what's going on. Rabbi Tam says that the starting protocol every single day, you wake up in the morning, when you get ready to put in your tefillin, you make a lahaniach on the shel yad. And then you make another bracha on the shel rosh. You know why? It's a different mitzvah. Everybody agrees that if you can't put on shel yad, say a person's got the problem with his arm, you can't put on shel yad. So you put on the shel rosh. You can't put on the shel rosh. Put on shel yad. The two parts of tefillin, not ma'akev zeh, you can be fulfilled one without the other. Whether or not, for the purposes of counting 613 mitzvahs, you think it's one mitzvah, two mitzvahs, is that probably not relevant to this discussion. Everybody agrees it's a separate ma'isa. It's not ma'akev. It's standing on its own 2 feet. So make a bracha on the shel yad, make a bracha on the shel rosh. Says Rebbe Adam, that's exactly what you're supposed to do. So what does the Gemara mean if you talk, you make a bracha? And that means as follows. When I wake up in the morning, I make a lahaniach, I put on my shel yad. I don't talk. I make my I put on my shel rosh. If I spoke, so now I have to make an additional bracha on the shel rosh. Why is that? Because according to Rabbi Netam, the lahaniach is going on both, but shel rosh almost requires two brachas. That's a whole long discussion of why that should be so. But according to Rabbi Netam, the shel rosh requires both the lahaniach and an al mitzvah. So as long as I didn't speak in the interim, I'm good to go. My lahaniach is still valid. I tack on the al mitzvah tefillin, and that's what I do. But if I spoke in the middle, so my lahaniach got lost, so I have to repeat another lahaniach. So it comes out according to Rabbi Tam, if you spoke in the middle, you end up actually making three brachas on your tefillin. Lahaniach is standard, a mitzvah is standard, and you got, for good luck, a third bracha a lahaniach. So it comes out when the Gemara says that speaking adds a bracha, a major machlekes Rashi Rabbi Tam, which bracha is it adding? So again, the protocol according to Rashi, standard protocol is, one bracha covers both. If you spoke, then you need two brachas. According to Rabbeinu Tam, standard protocol is two brachas. If you spoke, then you get up a third bracha.
You've done it already. So why would you make the third before you put on?
Oh, because you're about to put on the shel rosh.
Yeah, but after you finish, why would you make the third bracha?
Because
you're already.
Excellent. So Rabbeinu Tam holds that tefillin shel rosh, for some deep dark secret, requires two brachas. It needs a brachas of mitzvah laniach, and then it needs some kind of a combination bracha of al mitzvahs. So close by that you didn't speak, so the laniach and the shel yad can cover you for the shel rosh also. But the minute that you speak, so the laniach gets lost in the shuffle, and now it necessitates a new laniach. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, you have no choice. You have to make tefillin shel rosh, for some reason, requires two brachas. Why that's so is not at all clear, but tefillin shel rosh requires two brachas. So if you don't talk, then you can piggyback off the lahaniach of the shel yad. If you spoke, then you have to add on. How do we follow the halacha in this machlokes? And so we are. So the Rambam, Shulchan Aruch, the Vilna Gaon follow the view of Rashi that there's only one bracha. You wake up in the morning, you put on tefillin, one bracha, not so both shel yad and shel rosh. There is no second bracha unless you spoke. And Rabbeinu Tam is followed by the Rambam, but most Ashkenazim follow the view of Rabbeinu Tam and recite two brachas. It's because of this machlokes that the Ramah quotes the following very, very famous practice, where the Ramah writes that even though we paskin like Rabbeinatam, that's what our minig is, we paskin like Rabbeinatam, but we're a little bit weary. There are Gedolei HaRishonim, Rashi, and Rambam, who say that every morning our al mitzvah is filled with mamshe brachal batola. So what do you do? So the Rishami says that if a mistake a person made a brachal batola, what you should try to do is say baruch sheikh ruach zolvod right away. Why? Because that's like a little bit of a shevach to Hashem. It mitigates to some degree the brachal batola. It's not legamrei. It's not that a person gets in the habit of making brachas batola just following it with baruch sheikh. That's not right. But if and when you made a bracha levatola, so then you should immediately try to rectify it to the best that you can by just being mishabech to the shbaruch baruch shem. So the Ramah writes that we have a practice that after we put on the tefillin shel rosh, we immediately follow it with a baruch shem, just in case the bracha that we just made was a bracha levatola. So some people get a little bit confused with this. They put on the tefillin, they say al mitzvah tefillin, then they say baruch shem right away before they put. Before they tighten the tefillin shel rosh, that's a problem. Because then you're literally being mafsik between the bracha and the mitzvah. So you just created a bracha matala l'chol ha'deis. So you try to save a bracha matala, you made a bracha matala. So the correct protocol is, you make al mitzvah tefillin, you put the tefillin shel rosh, you make sure they're tight in place, and once they're in place, then 2 seconds later, then you recite the bracha shem to rectify the potential suffix of bracha matala. So the bottom line is, the menahei slice it in this sugya, maseches benachas, you see from here that brachas get lost in the shuffle, that if I recite a bracha, I start to do a mitzvah, and then something occurs in the middle that can throw into question the validity of a bracha. So now we have a little bit of a discrepancy between birchas ha-nehenin and birchas ha-mitzvahs. So we start out with, I made a hamotzi on a sit down for a meal tonight, take a slice of challah, make a hamotzi, take a bite, and then I start to talk. Nobody in the world is going to say, "Oy gaval, you talked before you had your next slice of challah. You got to make a new hamotzi." It's absurd. Everybody knows that a hefsek of talk in the middle of a meal doesn't necessitate a new bracha. On the other hand, when it comes to tefillin, the talking in between the shoyad and shorosh does require a new bracha. Now, whether it's Rashi Pshat or Beit Tam Pshat, those are details, but it requires a new bracha. So now, where do other mitzvahs fit into the picture? A person recites a bracha on mitzvah A, and he does the mitzvah, he starts with the mitzvah, then he starts to talk. Is the bracha intact? Does the bracha remain intact like it does by the challah, by the havotzi? Or does the bracha disappear into thin air like it does by the tefillin? So this is the sugya. Take a look at the fourth of the Ramakamos, where Tosus poses this question. Tosus, Fulun da peizayim and aleph. Yesh l'stapik, says Tosus. We're not sure what the din is. Imsach ben shchita l'shchita. A person is shechting chickens. He's working for Empire. He's got to check the 100 chickens the next couple of minutes. So he makes a bracha ala shechita. Then he shechs the first chicken. He doesn't make another bracha. Keeps on shechting it. In the middle of shechting, he stops for a minute. He goes outside, gets a cup of coffee, schmoozes with the other shechet, and he comes back. Wait a second. Is he required to make a new bracha? So if you compare this case of sach ben shechita l'shechita to the case of hamotzi, and you wouldn't require a new bracha. If you compare it to the case of tefillin, then you would. So Tosfos writes, "Yesh l'stapik." We're not sure. Yesh l'stapik m'tzach l'achz levarch. K'moga b'tefillin, dimsach b'tefillin tefillin, dimavarch shtayim l'rashi l'aniach al shayad v'mitzvah shal rosh, u'l'divrei b'netam mavarch al shal rosh shtayim. So Tosfos, in one fell swoop, like a half a second, made reference to the whole machlokes Rashi v'netam. But no matter how you slice it, according to both, you are making a new bracha. So a hefsek in the middle of a mitzvah does trigger a new bracha. Oh, Shem ain't so chlach to the baruch. So he says, maybe not. Maybe a comparison is wrong. K'mo b'em tesuda, sheyoch ledaber. You're allowed to talk in the middle of the meal. B'ain't so chlach to the baruch ha-motzi. So Tosa says, we're just not sure what the din is. But one thing we do know for sure. U'mi u'im omer me'inyan shechita. Let's say a person is mafsik about something that's relevant to the shechita, about tavi of lishchot or sakin, he says, bring another chicken or give me another knife. So pshita the eitzach lachsel levar. That's obvious, and he quotes our Gemara, about tol baruch to vila torah. Like the Gemara says that if you say somebody take the piece of challah, take the knife, take the salt, feed the animals, all the above are not considered to be a hefsek. So at the end of the day, Tosus leaves a suffix. We're not really sure where this fits on the spectrum. Is the case of a hefsek in between shechitas closer to the model of talking in between bais of challah, or is it closer to the model of sach ben tefillah l'tefillah?
say a hefsek before you turn to the size.
The kedayis
about the holtzi, you made a half of the size, and then you talk, then you eat the other half.
No, probably it shouldn't be a problem because you're not required to eat the kedayis. The shear of kedayis, whether you need it for the Shabbos and other things, but in terms of the hamotzi, make a hamotzi even on the kol shehu. So the brach is tofes already. So. Okay, so Tosus is comparing in the following sense that I make a bracha, and the goal of this bracha is to remain alive for a while. I really want the challah I'm going to eat in a half hour from now is also being covered by the sabotzi. So the sabotzi is being misyaches to the subsequent challah.
And the Gemara is talking about.
No, 100%. But I still need that bracha to be tofes to the Tzul Sharosh. So the same model is the same way that I need the Hamotzi to still be alive for the subsequent Chala. I need that Laniach to be alive for the Sharosh. So it's not a perfect replica, 100%. But that Yisod is the same. So that's called talking. Yeah, davening is also talking. Yeah, that would be a problem. Right, that's different. That's a chadas. Those other things. Those are going outside. I'm talking about just in terms of I'm sitting at the table. And okay, I gave a bad example. Wait, they had a cup of coffee inside the shkita. I just gave an example of shini makom. Doesn't really matter. But the bottom line is he's shmoozing. He's talking to somebody. So comes the riff in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. Well, that's not so simple. Because Dira finished the mitzvah. The other mitzvah is over. So that's not analogous. Over here, I still need the next chita, still not the mitzvah. So you're right. Look at that. If a person makes alchas matzah, he finishes kazayas, then he starts talking. He did the mitzvah, he's done already. But here, by the tefillah, the mitzvah is not over. Or by the challah, the meal is not over. So the bracha still wants to remain alive. The question is, if the bracha started, it was tofes, it took hold, and then something happened afterwards to disrupt it, does that invalidate the bracha? That's the same shadow.
Rebbe, if someone's hanging mezuzahs in the house, many mezuzahs.
Same shadow, right. Exact same shadow, right. So comes the riff in the fifth of the Rambam Kamos, in the end of the second Rosh Hashanah, and quotes the following shalom. Shalom mekami reish besifta. A question was raised from the Rosh Hashiva. Whenever it says Rosh Hashiva, it's one of the yeshivas in Bavel. There were two big yeshivas in the days of the Gaonim. There was Sura and there was Pupadisa. So one of the Rosh Hashivas was presented with the following shayla. Hamavarich yom Rosh Hashanah al tkiyah shofar. Basa sefer Torah. A person recites the bracha of tkiyah shofar. Whether that is the nusach of al tkiyah shofar, whether the bracha is the shmo kol shofar is a question, but it doesn't really matter for us. The bracha of on the concerning the mitzvah tkiyah shofar was recited. Basa sefer Torah after lady, which is exactly what we do. And then Beisiyach. And then the Baltake, after blowing, he starts to talk. What's the problem? He blew already. He finished. That's also, he didn't finish. Because the halacha is, tzorach levarach al tkiyah shoseinu brachos olo. There are really two parts of tkiyah shofar. There's what we call the tkiyos de miyushav. We'll see as we go on. Those names may be not correct. But we're going to work with the assumption of most yushav now. Then what we call the tkiyos de miyushav. Those are the tkiyos that literally you sit down for. Those are the tkiyos that right before mosuf. They're called miyushim, even though our practice is to stand up. That's a minute. You don't really have to stand for the tkiyah shofar. So since Be'ikra did, you could sit for the tkiyah shofar. They're called the tkiyahs de miyushav. Then the second tkiyahs are called the tkiyahs de ma'umar. Those are tkiyahs that, according to Moshe Sharma, said in the context of Shemana Esrei, whether or not they said only in Chazos HaShatz, or whether they said both in the sound and the Chazos HaShatz, is a machlekes amin hagim ad hayayim azeh between the Ashkenaz and Sfarad, but everybody agrees at least during Chazos HaShatz they are recited. That's the Mishnah. It's Ferish Mishnah. So the Mishnah, the Gemara talks about all these tkiyas, that there are different sets of tkiyas that we blow. So the Mishnayos talk about the tkiyas al seidah brachas. The Gemara adds on about the tkiyas before Mosuf. So the bottom line, we've been doing this for quite some time. The tkiyas to Meyushav and the tkiyas to Meumad. So comes the riff and presents a shaya that was asked from the Reish Masifta. The person recites the bracha l'shmo kol shofar. He blows all the tkiyas before Mosuf. He's Asher Am Yodei Shruah, he's Asher Yosher Besecha, the Chazan's Sanhedrin, and the Batekeh starts to shmuz. He starts to, he whispers to the other guy, and the Chazan's a little bit off key. He's talking whatever he shouldn't be talking about. He's talking in the middle. Now, all of a sudden, an hour later, he gets up to blow shofar. Melech HaKol HaRetz, Mekadosh Yisrov Yom HaZikaron, he's about to blow shofar. Stop, wait a second. You're doing a mitzvah right now. You're doing it. You're blowing a seita brachas. That's a mitzvah. The Mishnah says you have to blow seita brachas. So you're blowing a seita brachas. Where's your bracha? Lishma kol shofar. Rabbi, where's my bracha? I made the bracha 2 hours ago. Not so simple. But you talked in the middle. So since you spoke, now again, davening here wouldn't be called talking because davening is a tzorech hayom. That's tzorech atkias. The atkias is supposed to accompany the tefillas. But the guy was schmoozing about the baseball scores in between the tkias the miyush with tkias the moment. So comes the riff, comes the reshus. Wait a second, he may have to recite a new bracha. Why? Why would we think he has to recite a new bracha? Maybe this is analogous to talking between the two tefillins. Just as the Gemara says, you talk from one tefillin to the other, you have to recite a new bracha. Maybe this is the same. So that was the shah that was presented to the reshi with the reshus siftim. So what's the din? Right. So that's a little bit tricky. Right? Well, we assume that all tefillahs, whatever is the normal seder and the varm of tefillahs, is all considered to be part of tekiyas and seder brachas and muslim. This is all the normal part of the adu. We assume that that's okay. So the guy starts talking about other things that would pose a problem. So the hadalu. So this was the shah that was presented to the reish b'shifta. What do you do? So he responded as follows: Hachin kachazu rabbanan. Said we have always seen Arabeyim shagorin b'zesh asach. He says, we give musar to the personal talk. It's not right. What the Baltakeah just did is not right. Now, let's take all the responsibility away from Baltakeah and add a little bit to the Mispalim as well. L'chorah, this should be true for all the people also, because the Baltakeah is simply being mowed to you in the bracha. So it's as if you made the bracha. So any single person in shul who heard that first bracha, who starts to talk now before he finishes the mitzvah, that's a problem. So he said, we saw our rabbi would always stop it, would always say, no, shh, don't talk between the tekiyas to miyushim or the tekiyas to miyubim. But we continue on the next page. However, to insist that the person repeats the new bracha, the shmoch or shofar, second time around, that's a little bit too much. That you don't have to do. Why is that? Below damya halatfilin. This is not analogous to the case of the tefillin that you have to repeat a new bracha. The amar chizda sachman tefillin tefillah chaz mevarach. What's the difference between the tefillin case and the shofar case? The hanach shtei mitzvos ninu. It's not tefillin shoyad in makev shorosh. Shorosh in makev shoyad. That the tefillin shoyad and tefillin shorosh are very very different from one another. And the truth is, you don't really need both. I mean, at the end of the day, you have to make sure you put on both. But they don't even have to really be together. In theory, you can put on Shoyad and one put on Shorosh in the afternoon. So you're not forced to put on the Tefillin Shorosh right away. I mean, 99.9% of the time, that's what you're going to do. But the halacha is not absolutely requiring you to put on the Shorosh right now. So, and the bracha you're going to make is a different kind of a bracha altogether. And therefore, somehow this is different from the case of Shofar. So tefillin, you don't really have to do it. Shofar, you really have to do it. And therefore, what in the world is the difference? So l'chor, with the riff of the Resh Masifta driving at it as follows. That when a person makes the bracha of the shoyad, and now he puts on the shoyad, and now he starts to talk, there is nothing requiring him right now to continue to put on shorosh. So therefore, his talking is a gemar hadavar. He just ended the mitzvah. Since the halacha doesn't compel him to continue, so he just ended. Once he just ended, now he decides a minute later, let me put on the shorosh now. Why should I bother putting it on the minute? I'll put it on now. Nothing forced him to do that. He decided on his own volition to put on the shorosh. Guess what? He has to make a new bracha because he just had a hefsek. But you ain't giving it to your shofar. It's the same mitzvah. Once you have to finish the mitzvah, you don't have an option to stop in the middle of a mitzvah. So once you have to continue the mitzvah, you have a little bit of talking here and there. That doesn't necessitate, that's not called a hefsek. That doesn't necessitate a new bracha. You didn't finish yet. So what the Riff of the Resh Yosifta is saying is that talking per se is not the problem. Talking is an indication that the game's over. Talking shows that we stop, we're finished, done, see him, done, gemaru. Now you want to start up again, then you require a new bracha. So b'med v'amurim, that's far makes sense. That's why a mitzvah such as tefillin, where where you could theoretically stop right now. There's no shaykh, there's no hemship between the first tefillin and the second tefillin. But when it comes to shofar, it's the same continuation, so you can't stop. You have no option to stop. You have to blow the biyushim and the bumud, and therefore talking is not per se hefsek. That seems to be what the svara of the rif and the meshmer sifta is. So now, if we take that chilim, we take that svara, that when do we say that talking necessitates a new bracha? That's when nothing is forcing you to continue. Then talking is the seal. That's the gemara dover requiring a new bracha. Let's now plug that in to the story that we have in terms of sach ben shechita l'shechita. So comes the Ran and the sixth of the Ramakamos. So comes the Ran and says that Hecha Shesach, the Ran, the sixth of the Ramakamos, Hecha Shesach ben shechitas of, ikaman yon tzach lachsel levarich. There are those who say you have to recite a new bracha. And the raya was from tefillin. Says the Ran, based on what the Rif just told us, that should be the din. Why is that? The case of talking ben shechit l'shechita, that is much closer to the model of tefillin. Tefillin, why do you have to make a new bracha? Because nobody's forcing you to put on the show rosh right now. Guess what? Nobody's forcing you to shech the next chicken either. Now, since nothing is compelling you to shech the next chicken, when you talk, that's the gemar. That's the hefsek. That's the end of the mitzvah. Now you want to continue 5 minutes later, that's fine. You have to recite a new bracha. So the Ran is saying that in this model, in terms of whether sach ben shechit l'shechit is closer to tefillin or to eating the meal, so says the Ran, it's obvious based on the words of the Rif that whenever you start a mitzvah and there's nothing compelling you to finish that mitzvah and you start to be mafsik, then you have to start a new bracha. You have to start all over again. So for sure, in the case of sach ben shechit l'shechit, you should necessitate a new bracha. That's what the Ran says. L'chora the din should be. So hold off till Tuesday. Try not to be sach ben shechit l'shechit till Tuesday, because we're going to get the other side of the equation. The Ran himself is going to completely make a 180-degree turn and explain to you why, no, not so simple. Maybe you actually shouldn't recite a new bracha. So we have a lot of things flying around. So one thing for sure, when you make your motzi tonight, you take a bite of challah, you swallow your challah, that you can talk. One thing for sure this morning, when you put on the shayad, please don't talk before the shorosh. If you happen to shech between now and Tuesday, so hang in there until we figure out. I imagine it won't be blowing shofar. And if you are up to now and Tuesday, we have much more serious problems. So hopefully, Mishnah on Tuesday, we'll try to continue. Thank you. Shabbat, a good Shabbos. Thank you.
Shabbos.
Thank you.